88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
Earth below us, drifting, falling, floating, weightless, calling, calling home.
Welcome to episode 21 of our Planet Earth series, in which we look at our home planet. And yesterday there was great excitement when a new satellite was launched from America, from California, Vandenberg Air Force Base, and it was called Landsat 9. And before we go to the launch, which happened yesterday morning, as I said, let's hear a little bit about the satellite.
From its beginning, NASA has always kept one eye looking back at Earth. For five decades, Landsat satellites have provided a continuous, seamless record of Earth's land surface. With unmatched longevity, accuracy, and coverage, they are the cornerstone of global land imaging. Landsat 9 continues this tradition and will carry us into the next 50 years of Earth observations. The two instruments on board will make the most advanced measurements of any Landsat satellite, sending back 14-bit data, ready for analysis, while collecting more data than ever before. Landsat 9's technical improvements will enable advances in science, monitoring coastal waters, mapping ice velocity, improved surface temperature readings. The science data from Landsat 9 will be used to predict crop yields, manage our water resources, and assess the health of forest ecosystems. Landsat 9 is bringing Earth into clear focus. Every year, every season, everywhere around the globe.
And this is what we heard yesterday morning as the rocket took off.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Engine ignition. And liftoff. Liftoff of an Atlas V rocket and Landsat 9, continuing the legacy of an irreplaceable 50-year record on our ever-changing planet.
Control system response looks good. RD-180 engine operating parameters continue to look good.
Some days before the launch, NASA Administrator Bill Nelson introduced the Landsat 9 satellite.
For more than 50 years, NASA has been our eyes in space, helping us to better understand and explore our planet, improve our lives, and safeguard us in the future. The Landsat program represents the longest continuous global satellite record of the Earth's surface. And of course, Landsat's long-term record of our home planet. It allows us to track the changes, the impacts of climate change. When Landsat 9 launches in September, it will build on the most advanced measurements made in the program's history. Landsat 9, together with Landsat 8 and the European Sentinel satellites, they will allow scientists to study change in forest, crop, and water resources. This data is not only critical to farmers and scientists, it's free, it's openly available to those seeking solutions to global issues, such as changing freshwater availability, food security, and health. Landsat 9 is one of many that benefit life for us here on Terra Firma. I can't wait to see what we will learn next.
Good morning. I'm Tyler Green from NASA's Office of Communications. I'm your host today to discuss the upcoming NASA U.S. Geological Survey Landsat 9 mission. Given the ongoing pandemic, all of our participants are joining us remotely from various locations. For nearly 50 years, Landsat satellites have captured data and images documenting Earth's changing landscapes. Now, this joint mission between NASA and the U.S. Geological Survey will continue to carry on the legacy of Landsat's critical role in monitoring land use and helping decision makers manage essential resources. We are here today to count down the launch of the latest satellite in the series, Landsat 9. On our panel today, we have Karen St. Germain, Director of NASA's Earth Science Division, who will provide an overview of the Landsat program and how Earth observation can help manage resources. Del Genstrom, NASA's Landsat 9 project manager, who will discuss the journey from design to the launch pad. Jeff Masick, NASA's Landsat 9 project scientist, who will tell us about how Landsat views are changing Earth, tracking the impacts of climate change and benefits to people. David Applegate, Associate Director for Natural Hazards, exercising the delegated authority of the director from the U.S. Geological Survey, who will discuss the wealth of data and possibilities with a continuous 50-year record from Landsat. Birgit Peterson, geographer with the U.S. Geological Survey, who will provide information about how Landsat data helps respond to wildfires. And finally, Imbal Bekarishev, Director of NASA Harvest, who will discuss the application of Landsat 9 data to observe and manage crops and the connection to agriculture and our food supply. We will begin with NASA's Earth Science Division Director, Karen St. Germain, joining us from NASA headquarters in Washington. Karen, welcome.
Thanks so much, Tyler, and welcome everyone to today's briefing. We are, on behalf of Team NASA, I want to welcome you and let you know that we are really excited about the upcoming Landsat launch. NASA is the U.S. agency with end-to-end capability for collecting space-based Earth observations and delivering science and applications. NASA's fleet of 23 satellites and sensors orbiting the Earth today, and another 10 are launching over the next 2 years to observe our planet's atmosphere, ocean, land, and ice, substantially increasing our ability to see the Earth's systems and how they work together. These missions include those that we build for partner agencies here in the U.S. and those that we build in partnership with space agencies around the world. They include instruments on the International Space Station and satellites that range in size from a shoebox to a coach bus. These satellites and those that came before them underpin much of what we understand today about our changing Earth climate. And as we look to the future, we will build the systems that help us understand the distributed effects of that climate change so that we can model and predict it and ultimately inform decision makers from individuals to international bodies. The measurements collected in space help us understand the science of how the Earth systems work together. We look to answer questions like how weather impacts coastlines to crops, how melting ice is changing our oceans and atmosphere, and how carbon moves through the Earth system. NASA is leading the world in openly sharing our data and science, and we're accelerating every effort possible to meet the demands for actionable and trusted information in support of both our domestic and international communities. The Landsat program spans nearly 50 years and is a cornerstone of our understanding of Earth's surface. Each satellite in the Landsat program has captured increasingly sophisticated data and imagery documenting Earth's changing landscapes and increasing our understanding of the planet on regional, national, and global scales. Landsat data informs a wide range of decisions related to managing crop health and water resources, and you'll hear more about that later on this morning. These are critical decisions to mitigate global issues like regional famine or food scarcity in an era of accelerating climate change. And this data is essential to global aid agencies, first responders here in the United States, policymakers at every level, major agricultural producers, and individual people from farmers and ranchers to urban planners. working with our sister agencies in the federal government, such as USGS and USDA, and with our private sector partners like Google, NASA is delivering the most urgent, most comprehensive, and applicable science needed to help inform critical decisions. Now to hear more, I'll turn to my colleague, Del Jenstrom, NASA's Landsat 9 project manager. Del, over to you.
Thank you, Ken. I'm at NASA's Mission Director Center at Vandenberg Space Force Base. Now, the Landsat 9 project began in 2015, about 2 years after the launch of Landsat 8. And we were directed to build a satellite based on Landsat 8, but with some improvements. Now, if you put the two satellites side by side, they would look very similar. Like Landsat 8, we have two instruments. We have the Thermal Infrared Sensor 2, which is we call TIRS 2, which is a two-band thermal imager. And we have the Operational Land Imager 2, OLI 2, that is a nine-band reflective imager with spectral coverage from visible through shortwave infrared. Now, the biggest improvement that we are directed to make with Landsat 8 is to make TIRS 2 a fully redundant instrument, which means it has better reliability, it has backup systems. We've also improved its optics to reduce some stray light that will provide more accurate thermal imagery. Now, OLI 2 is effectively identical to the instrument on Landsat 8, but we are now going to bring down 14-bit imagery from the satellite instead of 12-bit imagery that we bring down from Landsat 8. And this improves the sensitivity of the imagery by 25% over what we get from Landsat 8, which is important for analyzing darker Earth scenes such as coastal waters. The spacecraft is a whole new generation of electronics and components and software, and the entire satellite is better protected against the space environment for things like orbital debris and static charge buildup. Landsat 9 will be operated from a brand new Mission Operations Center located at the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center, which was developed by and will be operated by our USGS partners, and it has been thoroughly tested with the satellite. The performance of the satellite and the operation system is just excellent. And the team, I just can't say enough about the incredible job this team has done to bring this mission to launch in this pandemic time. Landsat 9 will be the best Landsat satellite yet. Now I'd like to introduce Dr. Jeff Masick, the Landsat 9 project scientist.
All right, thanks, Del. So I'd like to speak a little bit about what Landsat does and what we do with all the images once we bring them back to Earth. So the key thing about Landsat is we collect multispectral images of Earth's land and coastal areas every day. And by multispectral, we mean that Landsat sees not just the visible colors of light that our eyes see, but also into the infrared, including the long wave IR, which is sensitive to surface temperature. And these spectral bands allow for fingerprinting of materials and mapping Earth's land cover and its changes through time. As Del said, we have two instruments on board. We have OLI 2, which is a reflective band imager for the shorter wavelengths. With OLI 2, we can see objects as small as 30 meters or about the size of a baseball diamond. We also have TIRS 2. That's our long wave or temperature imager. With that, we can see objects about 100 meters in size, so the size of a football field. These instruments are mounted to a satellite that's in a sun synchronous orbit. And so it gets the same lighting conditions, the same illumination conditions on every orbit for consistency. The data are collected in a series of swaths, each of which is 185 kilometers wide. That provides us global land coverage every 16 days. And of course, we launch into a constellation of two satellites. So Landsat 8 and 9 will be operating at the same time. So we get global land coverage every 8 days. This frequency is really critical for assessing change, both within a single year and between years. In addition, the observations are calibrated carefully to physical units of radiance, reflectance, and surface temperature. So what do we do with all of these images once we bring them back to the ground? I like to think of Landsat as something like a Swiss Army knife. Out of one basic set of observations or measurements, we feed a whole range of different Earth science applications. In fact, Landsat remains our most widely cited land remote sensing system in the peer-reviewed literature. There are about 1,600 peer-reviewed papers published each year that depend on Landsat. Its key role is to track both human-induced and natural changes to the land environment to better support land management decision-making. And along the way, we're able to assemble and visualize an amazing history of how the planet has changed over the last half century. So some specific examples. We're able to look at long-term trends in ecosystem and land cover. For example, we're able to see natural disturbances that occur, fires, hurricanes, insect outbreaks, and then the long-term recovery of ecosystems that takes place for decades after that. Birgit is going to give some examples of that with respect to fire in a couple of moments. We're able to look specifically at climate and climate change impacts on ecosystems. We've mapped areas of increased plant cover at high latitudes due to a warming climate. We've also seen areas of vegetation decline in water-limited semi-arid environments. We look at human land use change, including providing our best estimates for the area of tropical deforestation, the expansion of global agriculture, and the expansion of cities around the world.
And there we must leave that press briefing on Landsat 9, which is now safely in orbit. Well, this has been The Space Show. I'm Andrew Rennie, and we'll have more about Landsat in next week's program.